Good morning and welcome to Simply Space. It's Monday, May 13th. On today's show, an aurora will light up in unusual places as a solar storm rages, and SpaceX is set to launch 23 Starlink satellites from Florida tonight. Plus, a space mystery is solved as a Cold War-era satellite lost for 25 years is finally rediscovered. This coverage and more, up next. I'm David, and you're listening to Simply Space. We start off with news of a powerful solar storm that is ramping up, which could mean more kaleidoscopic light shows visible in the sky across the Northern Hemisphere. An extreme geomagnetic storm that first hit last week is expected to become more intense, according to the U.S. National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, as several coronal mass ejections are due to bombard Earth's outer atmosphere in space. For more on this, we turn to our space correspondent. So what exactly is causing these intense solar storms and auroras?
Well, David, the Sun is currently in a very active phase of its 11-year solar cycle. We're approaching the peak of this cycle, which is expected in mid-2025. During this time, the Sun's activity increases, leading to more frequent and intense solar flares and coronal mass ejections, or CMEs. These CMEs are essentially huge eruptions of plasma from the Sun's outer atmosphere, the corona. When these charged particles reach Earth, they interact with our planet's magnetic field and atmosphere, causing the stunning auroral displays we're seeing.
And these auroras, they're not just confined to the polar regions as usual, right? People are reporting sightings much farther south.
Absolutely. Normally, auroras are only visible near the North and South poles. But during strong solar storms like this one, the auroral oval expands, allowing people at much lower latitudes to witness these incredible light shows. We've had reports of aurora sightings throughout the United States, United Kingdom, and other locations worldwide. It's a rare and breathtaking phenomenon.
Now, while these auroras are undoubtedly beautiful, solar storms can also have some negative impacts on our technology, can't they?
Yes, that's right. Although Earth's atmosphere and magnetic field shield us from the most harmful effects of solar radiation, these space weather events can wreak havoc on our technological infrastructure. Strong solar flares and CMEs have the potential to disrupt power grids, telecommunications, and GPS systems. In fact, a solar flare in March 1989 caused a 12-hour power outage across the entire province of Quebec in Canada. So while we marvel at the beauty of the auroras, it's important to remember the power of these solar events.
And what about the specific flares and CMEs causing the current storm? What do we know about them?
Well, the Sun had a particularly strong solar flare on Sunday, classified as an X1.0, which is among the most intense flares observed. This followed two other strong flares on Friday and Saturday. These flares seem to be linked to a massive sunspot, estimated to be around 15 times wider than Earth. The U.S. space agency NASA's Solar Dynamics Observatory has captured images of these impressive events.
So with several CMEs on the way, what can we expect in the coming days?
NOAA, which is monitoring the storm, says we can expect the geomagnetic storm to intensify as these CMEs reach Earth. That means more chances for people across the Northern Hemisphere to catch a glimpse of the aurora. However, it also means an increased risk of technological disruptions. High-frequency radio communications may experience temporary problems or lost signals. It's an exciting, but also potentially challenging time for our planet as we feel the effects of the Sun's increased activity.
Fascinating and a little bit unnerving. Thank you for breaking this down for us. We'll be sure to keep an eye on the sky and on any potential technological disruptions as this solar storm unfolds. On a related note, SpaceX continues to expand its Starlink satellite internet constellation with another successful launch over the weekend. On Sunday, a Falcon 9 rocket carried 23 more Starlink satellites to low Earth orbit from Cape Canaveral Space Force Station in Florida. The rocket's first stage then returned to Earth and landed on a drone ship in the Atlantic Ocean. For more on this latest Starlink mission and the current state of the mega constellation, we're joined by our space correspondent. So what can you tell us about this particular launch?
Well, David, this was SpaceX's 49th orbital mission of 2023, which is a remarkable cadence. 33 of those launches have been dedicated to building out the Starlink constellation. The first stage booster used in this mission had already flown 14 times prior, with 9 of those previous flights also being Starlink missions. That really highlights the rapid reusability that SpaceX has achieved with the Falcon 9 rocket. After deploying the satellites, that booster then landed successfully on a drone ship for a 15th time.
And how many satellites are currently in the Starlink constellation? It seems to be growing at an incredible rate.
Absolutely. The constellation is massive and expanding rapidly. With this latest batch of 23 satellites, there are now approximately 5,900 operational Starlink satellites in low Earth orbit. And that number is set to keep growing. SpaceX already has permission to deploy 12,000 Starlink satellites, and the company has applied for approval to launch an additional 30,000 on top of that. So we could eventually see a constellation of over 40,000 satellites providing global broadband internet coverage.
That's a staggering number of satellites. How does that compare to the total number of satellites launched by all countries and companies since the beginning of the space age?
It's a huge proportion. Prior to the start of Starlink launches in 2019, there had only been around 9,000 satellites launched in total since the late 1950s. So SpaceX is single-handedly increasing the number of active satellites by orders of magnitude. This unprecedented scale is raising some concerns about the potential for collisions and space debris, as well as the impact on astronomical observations. SpaceX says it is taking steps to mitigate those issues, but it remains a point of ongoing discussion as the constellation grows.
It certainly seems like mega constellations like Starlink are ushering in a new era of space utilization. Beyond just the number of satellites, how is Starlink impacting the overall launch industry?
Starlink is driving a significant portion of the sharp increase in launch cadence we've seen in recent years, both for SpaceX and the industry as a whole. And the Starlink launches are also demonstrating the increasing capability and reliability of reusable rockets. As you mentioned, the booster used in this mission had 14 previous flights. That kind of rapid reuse was unheard of just a few years ago. Starlink is pushing the boundaries there and helping to bring down launch costs across the board. Of course, Starlink is also a key revenue generator for SpaceX, helping to fund the company's Starship program and Mars ambitions.
Thanks for the insights on SpaceX and Starlink's transformative impact on the space sector. And speaking of space mysteries, a long-lost American spy satellite has been rediscovered after going missing for 25 years. The S-73-7 probe, just over 2 feet wide, was launched in 1974 to help calibrate remote sensing equipment monitoring the Earth's surface. But the satellite failed to properly inflate and was too small to be regularly detected by ground-based scanners. Here with more details is our Simply Space correspondent. So how exactly did the U.S. Air Force lose track of this satellite?
Well, David, the S-73-7 probe was actually lost twice by surveillance teams. It first went missing in the 1980s, then, after a few brief detections in the 1990s, it completely disappeared from tracking systems for a quarter century. The satellite is quite small and largely made of non-metallic materials, which makes it very difficult to detect with radar. It's possible it was hiding in orbit, mistaken for a piece of space debris. The Earth's orbit is increasingly crowded with both active satellites and defunct space junk, making it challenging to keep tabs on every object circling our planet.
And what finally allowed the 18th Space Defense Squadron to relocate the probe after all these years?
The squadron's analysts were finally able to match a detected object with the S-73-7's expected orbital trajectory. Tracking an object in space requires not just spotting it with sensors, but also matching those observations to a known satellite path. That becomes far more difficult when an object hasn't been seen for a long time and is moving through a crowded region of orbital space. With tens of thousands of man-made objects now orbiting Earth, the risk of collisions and proliferating space debris is a growing concern.
Do we know if the S-73-7 probe is still functional or able to carry out its original mission after all this time?
That's still unclear. Remember, the satellite was supposed to inflate once reaching orbit, but failed to do so. A piece of the balloon or its dispenser may be what's actually been detected, rather than the probe itself. More analysis will be needed to determine the condition of the spacecraft. But even if no longer operational, simply rediscovering the S-73-7 is an impressive feat, given how long it's been lost. It's a reminder of just how challenging it is to keep watch over every object humanity launches into the increasingly congested space around our planet.
Thanks for that fascinating story of a long-lost piece of space history finally found. And speaking of space discoveries, a hellish planet in a distant star system may have an atmosphere, according to a new study using data from the James Webb Space Telescope. The exoplanet, known as 55 Cancri E, is a rocky world twice the size of Earth that orbits extremely close to its star. For more on this discovery, we turn to our space correspondent. What can you tell us about this so-called hell planet?
55 Cancri E is a truly extreme world. It's classified as a super-Earth because it's about twice the diameter of our planet. But that's where the similarities end. This exoplanet orbits its star at just 4% of the distance between Mercury and the Sun. At that proximity, the surface is likely a vast ocean of molten magma, with temperatures hot enough to melt iron. It's been a mystery whether such a scorching planet could even have an atmosphere. But now, using the powerful instruments on JWST, scientists have found the first compelling evidence that 55 Cancri E is indeed shrouded in a layer of gas.
That's incredible that anything could survive those infernal conditions. How were researchers able to detect signs of an atmosphere?
The research team used two key instruments on JWST. First, they measured the thermal emissions coming from the day side of 55 Cancri E using the mid-infrared instrument, or MIRI. If the planet had no atmosphere, they expected to see daytime temperatures around a blistering 4,000 degrees Fahrenheit. But surprisingly, MIRI recorded a much lower temperature of about 2,800 F. This suggests that an atmospheric current is circulating heat from the day side to the night side of the planet. To figure out what this atmosphere might be made of, the scientists next used JWST's near-infrared camera, called NIRCam. The data revealed the likely presence of carbon dioxide or carbon monoxide gas enveloping the planet. Interestingly, the researchers believe this is a secondary atmosphere that is actively seeping out from the planet's interior. A primordial atmosphere would get quickly stripped away by intense radiation from the nearby star.
What a remarkable find. It's amazing to think there are entire worlds out there under such extreme conditions compared to Earth. Did the researchers express excitement about finally solving the mystery around this planet's atmosphere?
Absolutely. The scientists were thrilled to get some answers after years of uncertainty and frustrating data. The study's co-author, Diana Dragomir, has been studying 55 Cancri E for over a decade. She said it's been really frustrating that none of their previous observations robustly solved these atmospheric mysteries. But now, thanks to JWST's powerful capabilities, they are finally getting the pieces of the puzzle to fall into place. It's an exciting time as the Next Generation Space Telescope continues to reveal secrets of distant worlds that have long eluded us.
This discovery is certainly a major step forward in our understanding of these extreme exoplanets. Thanks for breaking down this captivating finding. And with that, we wrap up our stories for today. Thanks for listening to Simply Space. We'll see you back here tomorrow.